You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining our door.
Come over here, kid. Wait, sir. You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic.
It's
then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. And you got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the one country's most delicious hour. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. How are you doing this evening? Hope you've had a good weekend. It's nice, this mild weather. And saw some of you last night at the Hoppe show and at the Osher Marin Jewish Community Center. Great show. Really, what a nice place that is for outside music. Got a couple more shows coming up before the end of the season. And speaking of seasons, it's apple time. The Gravensteins are being picked. I saw some at... Gosh, oh, I know. I saw some up in Healdsburg on Wednesday. Lou Preston had some at his booth at the Wednesday evening farmers market in Healdsburg. His are really early because Healdsburg is pretty much too hot for Gravensteins, but he's got a few anyway. And we have a house full of apple experts tonight. We have, from left to right, Keith Borglum, California Rare Fruit Garden Club. Is that right?
Hello, yes.
And there, get the microphone so you don't have to stand on your tippy toes. We have Sue Devey from Slow Food Apple Corps. Thanks for being here.
Hello.
We have Gary Blossy, apple farmer in Sebastopol?
No, Windsor.
Windsor, okay.
I'm from Windsor.
Okay, I know your name so well. I know your face.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And then we have the woman who works 24 hours a day. You know, amazing. The amazing Paula Downing.
Thank you.
who pulled all these guests together this evening. I really appreciate it. So, Gary, first to you. When did you start picking Gravensteins?
About 2 weeks ago.
Oh, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How's the year looking?
It's looking good. The size is big and small. And I've got like three varieties of Gravensteins I have.
Uh-huh.
And they're all different. I've got the... my dad had some in the 40s that were kind of striped. I think that was the original variety.
Mm-hmm.
Then I've got some that are kind of a stripe with a blotchy stripe. That's another variety. Then I've got these newer type that are green looking, but they're sweet and crunchy. So they're good apples. They're all good apples. And the other ones have more tart, and these are more sweeter.
Now, you say you have three varieties. Do they all ripen at about the same time?
Almost same time, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, real close, yeah.
And... what about you, Keith? What's your involvement with apples this year?
Well, in the California Rare Fruit Growers, we have about 300 of our 3,000 worldwide members are in the North Bay region, which is mostly Sonoma and Napa counties.
Mm-hmm.
Marin, San Francisco has their own chapter, and Mendocino North has a chapter also. But as hobbyists, we don't grow a lot. Most of us are not commercial growers. Some are.
Mm-hmm.
But we're collectors. I probably have 40 some odd varieties of apples. One of our members has over 100 varieties of apples amongst his 300 varieties of fruit on his acre in Sebastopol.
Whereabouts on Sebastopol?
What would you call that? Eastern Sebastopol?
Okay.
Almost with a view of the Laguna.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I grow regular Gravensteins, Rosebook Gravenstein, Red Gravenstein, and the Winterstein, which was hybridized by Luther Burbank.
Uh-huh.
Those are the four that I know of. Oh, and we also rescue what we call the Fort Ross Gravenstein, but it may not be genetically different from a regular Graven.
Oh. Tell us about the Winterstein. That's new to me.
Yeah, Gravensteins are the earliest mm-hmm. of the apples pretty much around here. And what Luther Burbank tried to do was create a variety that would ripen later to be able to extend the season later.
Mm-hmm.
But most of us agree, even though it looks the same, it doesn't taste quite as good.
Mm. When does it ripen?
More around September.
Okay.
So about a month later
exactly
than the
winter.
Latest. No.
Yeah. Cool. How is your crop? Hey, you have a bag. You said we're going to play Name That Apple in a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to play Name That Apple. I also have my Gravenstein crop looks really good this year. Really nice size apples.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, when you say you're not a commercial grower, but you have a lot of apples, so what do you do with them?
I have a lot of friends that seem to show up during the season. And the excess I take around to some of the homeless shelters.
Oh, God, what a nice
thing. I do a lot of canning, too.
Uh-huh. What do you like? Do you applesauce, apple butter? What do you like
apple,
to do?
Apple, anything. Right now I've got my solar dryers going.
Mm-hmm.
A little later at the end when I get really tired of them, I'll start doing sauce.
Uh-huh. Great.
Gravenstein applesauce is the best applesauce. Mm-hmm. I have
to say absolutely.
That.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I want to put up applesauce this year. Mm-hmm. I've been too busy. I call it wine country just because I put wine in it. And it turns this beautiful. I just do apples. And if I've got graves, very often I don't have to add any extra sugar.
No sugar.
Yeah. 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 And as the apples are cooking, I just pour in a bottle of red wine.
Whole bottle?
Yeah.
apples, right?
But I mean, I'm talking about a really big pot of apples. A really big pot. And what I do is I'll just pour in the bottle from when I first put the apples in.
Yeah.
And I'll cook it down, and then I'll take the apples out after they're the right texture. I take the apples out, and there'll be, I don't know, maybe 2 inches of juice, collection, uh-huh. Combination of the apple juice that's leached uh-huh. out and the wine. And then I boil it down until it's a thick syrup.
Huh.
And at that point, all the wine, the alcohol is long gone.
It's gone, yeah.
And then I just stir the apples back into that. Huh. And it makes this really beautiful ruby red applesauce that has just this sort of almost like you've added spices.
Huh. Pinot, what, any kind of?
I usually use Zinfandel.
Yeah.
Zinfandel holds up well with it, and plus, I don't really drink Zinfandel because it gives me a headache, and I'm not going to waste a bottle of Pinot Noir on boiling it down. Anyway, that's my apple juice story. I'm sticking to it. That's great. I love that you grow apples for love and then give them away and make things for yourself. Is that what a lot of the rare fruit growers do? You just collect. When you say a collector, it's because you love the fruit, not because you're commercially invested in it?
Yeah, that's right. And you start noticing the different tastes and trying to have some different varieties to extend the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes somewhat of a compulsion that, there's about 7,500 named varieties of apples out there. And, you can't have them all, but I think some people try.
Do we know who has the most?
As far as I know, there's a university in London that has the biggest collection of germplasm. They have a little over mm-hmm. 2,000 of them.
Mm-hmm. What about locally? Do we know who has the most?
Mm-hmm.
I know that Rini Kiff has
David Ulmer
lot.
In Sebastopol, again, might
uh-huh.
be. He's a real serious collector. And
uh-huh.
many of us have as many as 10 or 20 varieties on one tree that will graft on just
onto
for the
a
heck
single
of it.
Tree.
Yeah, we have a member that has 101 varieties of pears on one tree. He's crazy.
Sounds like fun, though. Well, let's talk, before we talk about what Slow Food has done for the Gravenstein, let's talk about the Gravenstein itself and, its characteristics, other than, of course, it's the earliest ripening, at least here. Mm. It has really great flavor. What else is it about the Gravenstein that makes it so beloved? Anyone jump in?
Versatility. You can do so many things with it. Some apples, they really don't taste good just eating them out of hand,
mm-hmm.
but they're great for pies.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them turn to mush when you cook them, and some hold their shape. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you were talking about applesauce. I really like the pink varieties for making applesauce. You get a nice pink applesauce without having to put Zinfandel in it.
Yeah, I love those pink apples. Last week we tasted pink pearl, not quite ripe, pink pearl from DeVoto.
Yeah, they follow soon after the Gravensteins, and actually they're soon enough to sometimes be a pollinator, we think.
Mm. And what exactly does that mean?
Gravensteins are what you call a triploid apple. They don't pollinate themselves or other apples. They need a pollinator. So if you had a Gravenstein apple someplace without having any other kind of apple pollen around, you wouldn't get fruit.
Oh. Just another reason that we love bees, right? Is it bees that are doing the pollinating mostly?
Well, there's all different kinds of bugs, including, and the wind will also. Okay. I mean, the county is awash in apple pollen, especially out in West County. Uh-huh. So you can plant a Gravenstein tree, and you can pretty much expect that it's just going to get pollinated by the wind if you can't see any other trees around.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's interesting. I didn't know that about the Gravenstein. So it's its versatility, and I know for a long time, and maybe still, I don't really know, apple packers, apple producers, I guess, people who make applesauce commercially and apple cider, wouldn't they buy the Gravensteins because it would boost the flavor of other varieties?
Not particularly, I don't think. No.
I'm wrong.
No, I don't know. The flavor is usually sweet tart or Gravenstein. That's what it usually is. Another apple, like a Gala, it's a good, crunchy, hard apple, but has a different flavor altogether. Every apple, Arkansas Blacks, another hard apple, have that couple trees. And
I love Arkansas Blacks.
And that's a good, people love that apple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's real tart, though, too.
I like tart. I like hard. Crunchy, hard, and tart.
Okay, that's it then, yeah.
Yeah, so.
I like pie, Gravenstein pie.
Uh-huh.
I like that. I mean, I don't know if it's you. I mean, I guess Kozlowski's make Gravenstein pie.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't Dominique as well?
Yeah, she
Dominique
makes some.
Makes, yeah, excellent.
Mm. Yeah, and I like apple galette. Apple galettes, and I do. In fact, Slow Food has used my recipe for a couple of years. Real thin crusted apple tart. It's a really French thing, but you make the dough really thin, and you slice the apples really, really, really thin.
Thank you.
So it's like even thinner than an Italian pizza, and it's lovely.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of crazy, so I sometimes right out of the oven I will paint it with hot pepper jam.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that just gives it this real, it just sort of rounds out everything in your mouth and gives it this little, just makes you bouncy. You can see my shoulders going up and down. You'd notice if we were on TV. How about a musical break, Mike? Or not? Or not. The challenges of equipment.
I like adding red pepper to my apple pies, too. Either the little seedy kind or sriracha sauce or jalapenos.
That would be really good. Yeah. Yeah, jalapeno jelly painted over the tart right when it comes out of the oven. That is really good. Well, let's bring in Slow Food now, because Slow Food has done a lot to bring wide awareness of the Gravenstein. So you want to talk a little bit about that, Sue?
Well, I belong to the Apple Corps, which is a part of Slow Food Russian River, and I think we've been working 10 or 11 years on the Gravenstein apple. It's part of the International Arc of Taste of Slow Food, and the main thing I'm involved with is going to the farmers' markets, pressing fresh apple juice, and handing it out to people, because it just blows their mind. They can't believe it. They're not used to ever getting, there's very little fresh juice on the market at all anymore. And
fresh juice is amazing.
It's so alive. It's so flavorful.
Yeah.
And then, as Gary said, that sweet tart taste, it's excellent. And then everyone's, tells you about the Gravenstein apple tree that they have in their yard, or their grandmother had in her yard, or the one they grew up with. But it's a good way to introduce the issues that have to do with local sustainable food, with you know, keeping these older varieties that have been around forever, especially in our area.
Mm-hmm.
It's really quite fun and exciting.
Mm-hmm. When do you do this?
We do it in the month of August, and we'll be at the Petaluma Farmers Market on Saturday, August 17th. We'll be at the Sebastopol Farmers Market on Sunday, August 18th. We'll be at the West Marin Farmers Market on Saturday, August 24th, and that's at Toby's in Point Reyes Station. And then we'll be at the Santa Rosa Original Farmers Market, which is out at the north end of town, on Saturday, August 31st.
And at the Grab Fair.
And we'll, we're at the Grab Fair, but we don't do juice at the Grab Fair. And we kick off the season, actually, at the Gravenstein Apple Fair on August 10th and 11th.
Yes, 10th and 11th. Mm-hmm. That's coming up.
And that's coming up.
Yeah, 2 weeks. And some years they've barely been Gravensteins. We will have plenty of Gravensteins for the fair, right?
Yes, it's good, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Last year we actually ran out towards the end of the season doing the farmers markets because there weren't quite enough apples.
The other thing that I don't know if it's your project or a separate project, but businesses have apples to take. Businesses in at
the
least
apple
Sebastopol.
Project. Uh-huh.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, a fellow named Bob Burke, who's been working with the Slow Food Apple Corps for a while. I actually asked him to come tonight, but he had other things to do. He got this idea, which he announced at one of our meetings 2 or 3 years ago. And everyone said, oh, Bob, free apples in the stores in town. Go ahead. And he's totally gone wild with it. It's all over town. He just got them in the airports.
And now, do we mean just Sebastopol?
Well, he did other places. Some Graydon, Forestville, Petaluma.
Oh, cool.
It depends on energy. So what he does is connect the farmers with the stores, and then the farmers replenish the boxes.
Okay,
and the stores buy the apples. Yeah. Well, last year Dutton Ranch donated 1,000 pounds, and we gave those out in the libraries.
Mm-hmm. And what about you said the airport?
And now right now he just got them in the airport. So when you fly into Santa Rosa,
and there's
you can have a Gravenstein apple.
That is so cool.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, I love it. It's really funny.
Yeah, I remember I walked in somewhere, not thinking about it, and I was like, oh, an apple. Yeah, and I'm surrounded by apple trees, but it was just so nice, that little gesture.
Yeah,
it's just so
cute.
Nice.
It's really sweet.
Okay, and now we're going to take a musical break here on Mouthful. We'll be right back.
I'll be with you in apple blossom time. I'll be with you to change your name to mine. One day in May, you'll come and say, happy is the bride, the sun shines on today. What a wonderful wedding there's gonna be. What a wonderful day for you and me. Church bells will chime, you will be mine, apple blossom with time.
Okay.
That was the Flat Duo Jets, Apple Blossom Time, here on Mouthful. Okay, y'all, here's a question. I got a phone call from a man who has tasted an apple up in Anderson Valley in Mendocino County. He says the apple was really amazing, and it's called something along the lines of Spitzenberg or Spitzbergen. Familiar?
Yeah, Spitzenberg is the name of an apple. They're one of the most popular.
Where do you find them? Because he says he's having trouble finding them.
I don't know about in a market.
Never seen
maybe
it in a
online, or if you go and check out. Well, he's in Mendocino County.
I don't know. He had it in Mendocino. He's probably local.
Okay. The rare fruit growers, we give away cuttings. If he has an apple tree, he could get a cutting from us free, a Spitzenbergen grafted on.
Cool.
We do that. We give away 200-300 varieties of apple cuttings in January and teach free grafting classes.
Uh-huh.
If you go to the association website, California Rare Fruit Growers or crfg.org, you can find out all the chapters. There's one in Mendocino, and just go down and they'll teach you how to graft and give you the graftings for free, and you can get some Spitzenbergs that way.
Cool.
In 2 or 3 years, you'll have your own.
And then another thing you can do, and I'm going to have Mike check right now if we can get on online. Go to DevotoGardenScott.com, and they have a list of the apples that they're growing. And it just seemed they were guests last week, and it seems like I saw that apple. So we'll take a look and let you know. Gary, how many? So we know you grow Gravensteins, several varieties.
Yes.
What other varieties of apples do you grow?
I've got the Gala apple. I've got the Red Delicious. I've got the Arkansas Black, and I've got the Gala apple. I've got the what other ones I have? That's about it, probably. I have a pippin apple tree.
Uh-huh.
And a pippin, you have to thin it because it makes a million apples. It bears you every other year. So next year it'd be nothing. This year I pulled most of the crop off to get size out of it.
You know, you have to do that with most trees,
with
don't
most
you?
Most apples.
You have to go pull off blossoms?
No, when the apple's about the size of a silver dollar or smaller.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's when you have to pull
thinned,
them off.
Yeah. But my Gravensteins, people like big and small, so the apple trees thin themselves. So I just let them fall off when they're too crowded, and people I sell them all every year.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, we did just check Devoto Gardens' website, and they have something called the
Aesopus Spitzenberg.
So you go to DevotoGardens.com, click on products, and click on heirloom apples, and you'll see the variety there. And I know that they're only open to the public by appointment, but you can certainly shoot them an email or give them a call and get your Spitzenberg apple. There, we said we made someone happy.
Yeah.
They sell at the farmer's market in San Francisco, too, and hopefully they'll sell in Sebastopol.
Yeah, they said maybe starting
again.
September.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it'll be great to have them there.
I don't know when they ripen, Spitzenbergs.
No, I don't either. But they're really good.
I think they hang quite late, so they have an extended season you can pick them. September, October, maybe even November.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I actually have a Granny Smith, and I pick it the 1st of December when it makes red spots and yellow. The Granny Smith, that's the best way to eat it. It's real sweet that way.
Huh. Wait till it's way late in the season.
Yeah, real ripe,
late in the season, yeah.
Real ripe, yeah.
Now, what makes an apple get mushy?
Too
old. The natural process?
Probably too old, yeah. Maybe if you're on the tree too long, probably, I would say.
And some varieties are just softer.
Yeah.
Just because of their genetics.
Yeah, right. You're right. Yeah.
Because I still remember an apple I ate when I was, I think, 8 years old. It was early on Halloween night. We stopped at a grocery store. And my mother, probably in an attempt to make me eat something before I went trick-or-treating, she gave me this apple. And I can still see it was a Red Delicious apple. It was, and I know that they're not necessarily known as the best apples.
No.
It was so crunchy. It was so cold and crunchy and tart sweet. I've never forgotten that, the taste of that. It was so good. And every time I eat an apple, I'm really sort of yearning for that experience again. And I like them. Don't like them once they start turning mushy at all.
Well, the best thing to do is then get them in season, because a lot of apples will go mushy if you get them late after they've been in cold storage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you get them in season. Mm. And does the is there a difference between apples that you really should eat right away and what you might call storage apples? Because Like Gravensteins don't store well, right?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Not particular. Uh-huh. There's some varieties that are known for storing longer, but I don't pay much attention because I don't store them. I eat them when they're ready. I eat what's in season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it. But, you know, if somebody gives you a big bag of apples, you know, and it takes you 10 days to eat your way through, I like to know, like, the last one is going to be as good and crunchy as the first one.
Yeah.
How should you store them when, in those circumstances when you're at home? Should you put them in the fridge, put them in a cool cupboard?
Yeah, well, fridge. If you had a basement's perfect, but there's many basements around.
Don't have a basement.
I found in plastic bags they'll rot if you leave them, put them in the refrigerator with just on a box there, a cardboard box that lasts the longest that way.
Oh, so yeah. On a cardboard box?
Yeah, the best way. Yeah, otherwise, when you confine them, they get rotten right away. That's what I found.
Yeah.
And the best way to cook a Gravenstein or any apple, you can get a baking pan, put a little water in the bottom, you core it, then you put some raisins in and put honey in, and you bake it in the oven and get soft and let it cool down. And then the it gets syrupy in the bottom. It's really good.
Mm. Do you like to eat that just as it is? Do you like to have other things with it?
No, like it is. You want to taste the apple taste.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does sound really good.
You can put some ice cream on if you like it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I like to peel and slice apples pretty thin, saute them in butter, and then have them with roasted chicken or roasted pork. I might even make a bit of a sauce where I'll put some apple juice, some apple cider vinegar, and a bunch of black pepper. Just boil that down and swirl in a little butter and put that over the chicken or the pork and then add these sautéed apples. It's really good.
Another little trick you can use is in drying them. You take a cookie sheet, take your car, roll up the windows, point it south, take the cookie sheet, right, put the sliced apples on it, put them on your dashboard, and over a day or two, they will dry, just like in any other kind of dryer.
That is a
great. And it makes your car smell great.
that's sort of one step away from manifold cooking.
Right. Yes.
Have you seen the manifold cooking?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's a great idea. And, you know, where I live in Sebastopol, I wouldn't even really have to drive anywhere. I just have to set it in my car.
Right, as long as it's not too foggy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you had a bunch of old cars, you could dry a lot of apples then.
There you go. Okay, we're going to take another musical break here on Mouthful, and we're going to come back and talk about the Gravenstein Apple Fair.
Then you don't go killing all the people.
bedtime song. Fold on the apple. Lord, there goes a Buick 49. Black sheep of the angels riding, riding down the line. We think there is a soul. We don't know. That soul is hard to find. Down the road. Down, down the road. If you're after getting the
It's Mouthful. We are talking about apples. If you read only, I don't know, certain publications, and I don't mean any specifically, but if you read on the surface of things, you would think that, you know, there's 1.5 apple farmers left in Sonoma County, you know, and they've all been, you know, buried under vineyards. What's actually happening, I think, is a little bit different than that. I know that some apple farmers are adding trees, Paula, mm-hmm. what, and Slow Sarah? Food has really helped a lot?
I think so. I mean, I think we can take credit for making people really aware that we have apples here and we have lots of varieties and they're fun to eat and you can come and get some at all the different farmers markets and the farm stands. There's lots of little apple stands around too, if you've noticed. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we can take some credit for that. I mean, the farmers... Really, the whole thing about vineyards, I mean, there's wine makes money, wine grapes make money, mm-hmm. and a lot of them keep apples because they love them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a conversation with Perry Kozlowski, and he said, I just planted some apple trees. Everyone thinks I'm crazy, but I love growing apples, and you get that yeah. from the people who grow apples. Mm-hmm. Lee Walker loves growing apples, and whatever that is, I mean, Gary probably loves growing apples.
You love growing apples?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Yeah, Stan DeVoto just put in 500 more trees.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't even can't tell you why they love it, mm-hmm. but I'm sure that translates into the flavor of the apple that you get if you buy a local apple from a local apple farmer. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty, I feel pretty gratified by the people's response to the awareness of apples locally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you read, there's a little book that the Historical Society put
right.
out.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read that, I mean, it was a community, it made the brought the community together. And it's doing that again.
It's yeah.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, it's really good to see that.
Yeah.
And it's good to see that people call it Gravenstein Highway more often than 116. It's good to see the apples on the street signs.
Yeah, it is. It's very gratifying to mm-hmm. see that it brings the community together yeah. still. Yeah.
Gary, how many acres do you have?
I have fruit trees, probably 1 acre of all kind of fruit trees. I have uh-huh. 70 acres of vineyard for making wine.
Uh-huh. What kind of wine do you grow?
I have Chalk Hill Chardonnay and Russian River Chardonnay.
Oh, okay.
Then I've got a 112-year-old Zinfandel vineyard and make some real good wine. It goes to a winery.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, all for good wine, too.
And then where do you sell your apples?
Farmers, I sell at Hillsburg, Windsor, and Occidental.
Oh, okay, because I know I've seen you at farmers markets, and I bought from you at farmers
too,
markets.
Yeah. In fact, I was up there Wednesday with up in Hillsburg.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I was up there.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. So when we took that long musical break, y'all were talking about making applesauce. I want you to do that same thing on the air. What are your secrets for making great applesauce? Anyone, just jump on in.
So when we talked about it, Keith makes his applesauce with the skins on and leaves it on. I cook my applesauce with the skin on, but then I use a food sieve or a Foley mill mm-hmm. to take the skin out. Mm-hmm. And then I never add anything. I don't even add water. Mm-hmm. It'll do it enough.
Yeah.
And I just add a little lemon. and that's all I ever do to it. And I actually learned to make applesauce this way from my grandmother.
Cool.
And my parents used to do it together. They would make applesauce when they were older and retired. And I like the red the best because I love the way the applesauce looks.
Color, yeah.
That, you know, the, it's just the most beautiful color.
Do you make applesauce, Gary?
Yeah, we peel them and core them, and then we cut them up in like half-inch chunks, and then we just cook them and put sugar in and can it, that's all.
Yeah.
Because I like it more chunky, really. Yeah, I want to taste the apple.
What about you, Paula? What kind of applesauce do you like?
Well, since, you know, my kids are gone, I just usually just cook a pot on the stove, and I tend to peel them before I do it. But when my kids were home, I had, it was called the Victorio strainer, and it's a cranking thing. You can really do a lot. I bought it, I think, at Harmony, and I used to do huge pots full because, you know, I had kids and they ate applesauce. So if you have a lot of kids or even only a couple of kids and they're friends and you want to make a lot, a Victorio strainer is really a great tool.
Victorio strainer.
Yeah, because it just, it might have a different... Might be called back to earth or something like
Sounds
that.
Sounds better than a food mill. I got really annoyed by my food mill the other day.
It happens really, it's fast because it's just, you just crank it and it's really, you get a lot without too much trouble. And then you just cook them first and then run them through this. And then it takes the seeds out.
Everything,
Everything is gone. So, and then just what you do with it, I mean, it's one of those foods. I mean, you were talking about putting it on meat. But it's one of those foods that you can put on almost anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Some people
put pancakes, whatever.
Pancakes, yogurt. Some people like to put cinnamon in. Where do y'all stand on cinnamon?
No cinnamon for me.
Me either.
Not for me. I figure you can always spice it when you eat it.
My feelings exactly.
Yeah. I like to spice it when I eat it too. I feel like the cinnamon, if you cook it in it and can it, it makes it bitter or something. Yeah. Plus a funny color.
I don't like what it does to it. I'm not a cinnamon fan with applesauce. I do like putting in either lemon or just lemon zest.
Right, a little lemon. Yeah.
Or wine. And every now and then I put in a spice bag full of black and white peppercorns.
Oh, yeah? Which, and applesauce?
Yeah, sort of grown-up applesauce. I remember giving it to my grandson when he was about 5 or 6 months old. He's eating it, and then he was like, getting the weirdest look on his face. He couldn't talk, but you could just see this like, what the hell is that?
What is
that?
She giving me? You're right, yeah.
And then I realized, it's like, oh my God, that's the spicy one.
Yeah.
But I like that combination. I like especially peppercorns. Yeah. But that was really common back, you know, 2,000 years ago. It was really common to put spices into sweets.
Yeah. There's a whole revival of apple cider, which I know you had Jolie and Ellen on last.
Yes.
And that whole part of what to do with apples is, I don't know how to do your base. Can you do it? I know you can do it in your basement because I read it in the history books that, you know, everybody and his brother had made hard apple cider in their basement. Do you know how to do it, Keith?
You can just let it sit in a tub, but, you know, everything beyond that is much more sophisticated. I mean, the things that they do, like with applesauce or tilted shad or, you know, there's a whole movement away from what people think of as that super sweet sugar cane apple juice that's in the supermarket. Yeah. Whereas this new stuff, I mean, I wasn't that much of a hard cider fan until some of these locals started making it like more like a Sauvignon Blanc, or it's like a fine wine with only half the alcohol. So I drink it in a wine glass now. I mean, I'm not slugging it down with a stein like they used to do for breakfast, you know. And
No. Breakfast, you go back to bed. No, both applesauce and tilted shed were on last week, and I was really impressed.
Yeah.
They're both fermenting all the way dry, and they were gorgeous. And something really beautiful with cheeses. Maybe the best choice to enjoy with some really nice cheeses.
Yeah, that's, so it's a whole different beverage than what
and it's,
hard cider
I think there's
used
a couple of other people, aren't there, coming on?
Yeah, there is, and there's one in Petaluma that's already been there.
Wayne Van Loon, and I don't know what the name of his product is. And there's somebody in Marin doing it, too. Mm-hmm. So there's a few.
And now Lou Preston is thinking about doing it.
Is he really?
If Lou Preston's
He's
thinking
always
about
doing
doing
something,
it,
right?
It's going to be, it's gonna be interesting.
Well, and it's big in Oregon and Washington, and then I guess in Virginia and places like that.
Yeah.
It's becoming a thing. Yeah. I think it's going to be the next big alcoholic beverage.
What about apple brandy? Who's making apple brandy?
Well, do we know? It's not legal to do or possess in any form, but by hearsay. It's a there's a resurgence in distillation.
Uh-huh.
But the problem, from what I hear, is that people double distill it to get the higher alcohol, and then you lose all of that beautiful fruit flavor
if you only do a single distillation.
Yeah.
I think there was somebody in Petaluma, and I know they were doing pear brandy, and they were doing this crazy thing where they were, like, tying bottles onto trees when the pears were little that the pear would be actually in the bottle of the brandy. Yeah. But weren't they doing apples as well?
I got some of that. It was great.
Well?
I didn't see any apples. I bought some of their pear by Ross Station Road, aren't they? He has a distillery down in one of the ones in Alameda.
Uh-huh.
So there are definitely, and there's another new one in Napa, I believe, that's doing distillation. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's coming back.
And then there's the people doing limoncello. The name of the company is Hello Cello. They're in South Sonoma, and they're doing a traditional limoncello. But now they have a secondary name for their business. They're doing bourbon and some other distilled spirits. So
hard liquor. I'm glad about this. You know, personally,
you are glad.
I do, because I like hard liquor. I soon drink hard liquor than wine. Personally.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
You might want to come over to my house. I have a liquor cabinet full, but I tend to drink very, very small amounts. In fact, I had to buy a fifth, I guess, of vodka because I needed about a third of a cup for a recipe at a dinner I was doing Friday night.
Uh-huh.
And I took everything out. I was like, oh, I have 17 bottles of absinthe and no vodka.
Yeah.
I had to buy, you could buy a little bottle for $15 or $16 or a big one for $20. So I got a big one. Yeah. So if you need some vodka, come on over.
There's some organic vodka being made, too.
Yeah.
I got some in Oliver's recently, mm-hmm, nice organic vodka.
Yeah, there's some nice organic spirits. We've had St. George on before.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they're doing some very nice Hanger One,
uh-huh,
Hanger One spirits. I think it was St. George Absinthe, but Hanger One is the place down in Alameda. Really nice stuff. Well, I think it's time to play Name That Apple.
Okay. So I brought four different colors of apples to identify. There's a bright, solid green one, a green one with a lot of red stripe, a red one with a green stripe, and a gold one with a red stripe. Which one's a Gravenstein?
Okay, so they're touching the apples. They're smelling
looking
the
at
apples.
Them, smelling them. Go ahead, bite them.
Yeah, you can usually smell a Gravenstein. It's a different
you can
smell.
Yeah,
you can smell them.
There,
those worms in that one indicate
that it's
organic.
I think that's a Grav there.
Pass it over to Gary.
That one's got to be a Grav. That one's got to be a Grav, and I think that one is probably a Grav.
That's a Grav. Smell it.
Yeah, you can smell it. Yeah.
Smell.
I don't think.
And there's a couple worms in it too.
I bet they're all Gravs. You can tell by the look on Gary's face.
They're all Gravs.
They're all Gravs. Okay.
Not only
this Grav too. Yeah, this Grav also.
Gravs ripen progressively. That's why it's hard to be commercial because you can't just go and like pick the whole tree.
Yeah.
So not only are these all Gravs,
they're all from the same tree.
They're all from the same limb on the same tree.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll pick
and they
the
taste
same,
different.
This,
this red one
time.
Is going to start getting close to being mushy because it blossomed and started maturing a little early. That really bright green one is going to have much more of that tart flavor, which is probably going to be more for cider. Ooh, I didn't want to forget. Slow food. Backyard
garden project.
The backyard cider.
Applesauce.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it's August 18th. You can check with
Slovenia.
Does anybody
know
for sure? It is August 18th. We're going to be collecting Gravenstein apples that Tilted Shed. The Devotos are going to...
Applesauce, I think.
Applesauce.
Or maybe
that,
they both
no,
are.
It's Devotos. It's Devotos.
And when you say collecting, are people going to bring them to you, or are you going to go out and get them?
We're going to go out and collect
you
them.
You need to talk
so
to me.
So if you have grabs that you want to get rid of,
there might be a combo of things that some people will bring them in and some people go out.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Hard cider
and there's
made from this.
There's a volunteer team that will go out and pick. If you have extra, an unused Gravenstein orchard, we have volunteers that will come and glean it. And all of the... Not just the profits, all the proceeds from this special batch of cider are going to go back to saving the Gravenstein and saving the farmers.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a very cool idea they had.
How is the money used for Save the Ground for the Students? What are the costs? What's happening with that project?
Our money that we get from Slow Food. Well, we do our different things. We do the, because we believe in buying the apples from the farmers.
Okay, so some of it goes directly back to the farmers.
Well, so if we're making our apples juice at the markets, we're buying the apples from the farmers.
We pay for literature.
We pay for literature.
Really. Yeah.
We have banners hanging up this year in Sebastopol. We've used it to, you know, fund the Free Apple Project. We have one woman who's working in apples in the schools also. You know, our group is very, it's sort of, if you want to get involved in a project, you can sort of run with it. Yeah. And that's one of the best things about us, I think, is that we allow for each individual's interests and skills to go into the projects that they care about doing.
Cool.
Yeah. What else do we do?
I don't know. That's. I think that's it.
You know, and
yeah, we don't have a lot of money. We don't.
We need more
on a
send
very
money.
Small budget, really.
Yeah, yeah. If we had more money, we'd probably do more things. But you know, we just kind of work within what we have. We get little grants from different people. Roots of Change has given us money, and then we just spend that on apples and spend that on literature.
Well, you know, a small amount of money. It was really done.
Oh,
a lot.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, it's a little volunteer family, too. I mean, it's a fun group. We have fun together. Talking about apples. I mean, it's kind of crazy when you think about, what are we talking about? We're all worked up about apples. It seems sort of comical to me sometimes.
Sure. Yeah. But on the other hand, comical and at the same time, magical.
Yeah, it's true.
Nature, I mean, I can get all geeky about it.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah.
It's like you can take a little seed and plant it, and then all this food happens.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And yeah. I think that's pretty astonishing.
It makes you feel. And then there's all the, you know, I mean, I fail a lot in the garden, but then you get this one, you know, thing that happens that you succeed at, and then you're excited, then you keep going. It's a dynamic, exciting process of growing food. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, we have no alternative. You know, we have no alternative. So let's talk about what happens after the Gravenstein, because it seems we have two challenges. We want people to pay attention to apples earlier than they normally do. You know, we're still thinking about, Arctic gem peaches are finally ripe. I've had my first Arctic gems. But they ripen right about the same time, or they are this year, right about the same time as the first Gravensteins. So while there's tomatoes and zucchini and all this, it's like, no, think about apples too, because otherwise you'll miss the Gravenstein season. But don't quit thinking about apples when Gravensteins are gone. We will have fresh apples all the way through what?
December.
Okay, so there are some varieties that we pick in December?
Real late, yeah.
Uh-huh. What are some of the late varieties?
The Granny Smith, I pick them late when they're yellow, and that's the most flavor. And then the Pippin is a late apple, too.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a late apple.
I have a Braeburn in my yard, and they're pretty late, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Apples are all good, but I like them ripe before I eat them. I don't like them green. I want them. I keep tasting the apples, and when they're ready, I pick them.
Mm-hmm.
And I pick the grabs. I go around four trees I've got, and I pick just the ripe ones only. So it takes a long time, but I want people to have good-tasting apples.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they have a bad one, they'll come back again.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Why do apples fall off the tree?
Is that a joke? Is there a punchline coming?
No, because I just realized I'll go out into – I live on the edge of an orchard, and I realize that I'll go out and I'm looking for – you know, if the plums are ripe yet or if the apples are ripe yet. And I realize a lot fall to the tree, and I just assume they fall, I mean, from the tree. I assume they fall from the tree because they're ripe and they're done, but I realize, but nothing else ripe yet, so there must be another reason.
If they have worms, they'll fall easy, too.
And overcrowding, they'll push each other out.
Yeah, I figured overcrowding. Yeah.
Viruses, wind.
Wind.
Birds.
Yeah.
When we had that funny rain a few weeks ago, a lot of fruit came off the trees, I noticed.
Yeah, because there's lots of fruit under all the apple trees near where I am.
Something we've come to with Slow Food is to save the Gravenstein farmers and save the Gravenstein. Nobody can just grow Gravenstein because it's such a short season.
Yeah.
So we're kind of maturing to saving the local apples and apple farmers, and Gravenstein is just a venue or a way of getting that message out. There's a lot of different good apples. A lot of people don't even know about Eder. They hear about Burbank. Gravenstein was an import from Europe. Mm-hmm. There was a hybridizer, a breeder here, Eder, here in Mendocino, that came up with a lot of good apples. Wixen, Waltana, some of the Golds. Through the rare fruit growers, we get cuttings from rare trees and propagate them and sell them. We just sold them at the original farmer's market there. It was 2 weeks ago, I think. We'll make these little trees, pot them up to raise money for scholarships, but also to keep some of these heritage trees around that really are even more local than the Gravenstein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when do you go?
Our Catherine apple, as far as we know, it was down to one branch on the tree in front of his mother-in-law's house that somebody found and identified and found an old tag, and we've brought that back up to dozens of them.
One branch left?
The Fort Ross Gravenstein. You know, the Gravensteins, most of them, they claim it came out of Denmark. Mm-hmm. All apples came out of, you know, Kazakhstan and North Central Asia, really. But they hybridized them more in Europe and towards Turkey. And all the Gravensteins here, the commercial Gravensteins, came via Europeans who brought them in through the East Coast. But the Russians that started Fort Ross brought a Gravenstein. Where'd they get that? And the last one got rescued by a farmer in Sebastopol and grafted over into a couple of trees. And then Terry Harrison, used to have a Sonoma Antique Apple, saved a couple. And when I found out about Slow Food, I got our club together with them, and we got cuttings. You know, it was down to one tree. And there's some debate as to whether the Gravensteins there later in the 1900s were purchased or were cloned off that last Russian apple tree. But I come from a farming family. I remember my parents and uncles, they would wash saran wrap and hang it on the line to dry. They would take the wax paper out of empty cereal boxes to wrap the kids' lunch. I can't imagine a farmer out on the coast way back then spending good money to go get somebody else's Gravenstein right trees on to plant in Fort Ross when he had a perfectly good tree himself.
Exactly. There you go. That's a great way to put it. Okay, we are almost out of time. If people want more information about California rare fruit growers, how do they find you?
Just Google it.
Just Google it.
Mm-hmm.
California rare fruit
growers. Yes, and if you go, you'll find chapters. We have chapters in 35 countries.
All entitled California?
Yeah. Well, we thought about changing the name, but, you know, we didn't.
Okay, cool. So there you go. And is it a membership where you join, membership organization?
Yeah, you join the National. It has a fabulous magazine about worldwide fruits and pushing the envelope. But the local chapter, if you belong to National or any of the countries, you can join the local chapter for $5.
Yeah,
and we have great potlucks. We have a lot of events, garden tours, orchard tours. We just had a greenhouse building lesson at my place last month. It's a good group.
Uh-huh. Cool. Yeah.
So they're totally quirky, too. I mean, if you want to be entertained, go to the Rare Fruit Growers.
People that relate more to trees than to people.
That is good to know. For people who might want to get involved with Slow Food Apple Corps, what do they do?
Our website is slowfoodrussianriver.org.
Probably something like that.
And then do we have an Apple Corps one? Paul and I are the worst on this.
We probably do. But if you look at Slow Food Russian River, that'll lead you to us,
yes.
And Gary, we find you at the Occidental Farmers Market, Healdsburg Farmers Market.
Windsor.
And Windsor Farmers Market.
Yeah, right.
There we go. Yeah. And the Gravenstein Apple Fair, 2 weeks from today.
August 10th and 11th, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah.
And there is still a call out for volunteers. And
yes,
it's a great thing. I think you work for four. If you work for 4 hours, and you have to be as old as 8, on up, you work for 4 hours, and I think you get tickets for both days, and you get
a
meal.
Deal.
So it's a really good deal.
And a T-shirt.
That's right, a T-shirt. I think Lucas and a friend of his are going to do it.
Uh-huh.
I'm making them do it.
Uh-huh.
Do you know, should people just go to Gravenstein Apple Fair Or just Google.
Probably I'll go Slow Food Russian River. I mean, Slow Food. Go to Farm Trails.
Farm Trails.
Yeah, it's a Farm Trails.
I think there's a link for volunteer.
Yeah, and there's a phone number you can call. If you call the phone number, yeah, somebody will tell you.
Yeah, and I know that Wendy Krupnik is organizing the volunteers.
Oh,
I
just,
I talked to her a couple days ago, and she's going to be doing that. And she said, yes, still taking volunteers, but things are going along really well.
Yeah.
So we really want this to be a huge success this year. It's important to Farm Trails for it to be a success.
It is important to Farm Trails, but it's important to the community because it is part of that community thing that's around the apples.
Yeah.
And so we hate to
lose
that.
It's a great celebration.
Center. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll be there. I'll be there on the 11th. Yeah. I'm doing.
You know what? Steve Garner is back, too. Did you know that?
Steve Garner will be on. He will be on the air for the first time September 10th.
Uh-huh.
I am hoping that I can get him on the air, even if it's just for a few minutes next week. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, Steve Garner. I always forget Gwen's last name.
Gwen Kilcher.
Steve and Gwen did Garden Talk, and then John Ash and Steve, the Good Food Hour. It is just
That was a big deal for so many people.
Oh, yeah.
He's so loved. That was
so
such
loved
a
and
tragedy.
So good.
Yeah.
So he'll be launching it from
at
the fair. That is so great.
Yeah.
And I won't be there that day, alas, but I'll be there Sunday doing, I'm going to make apple and smoked cheddar chowder for my cooking demo.
Ooh.
It's pretty good. I think I'll probably do an apple cider vinaigrette to have a little salad alongside, too. Mm-hmm. And on that note, we are once again out of time here on Mouthful. Next week, we're going to be talking about pairing wine, but not with food. Pairing wine with music. Get ready for battle. There will be at least two very opinionated people here. And yes, I am probably one of them. On that note, have a great week. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. And meet me back here for next Sunday at 7 for another yummy episode of the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, Mouthful on KRCB.
This story, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.
Good cornbread.
Listen to what the preacher says.
To the Lord, praises be.